Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. Westview, we have an invitation before us today. It's an invitation that is going to be for each and every one of us here this morning. Does not matter who we are or where we're from. It does not matter what life is like for us. Does not matter what life has been or where we're coming from, what life circumstances are. It does not matter this morning what our relationship currently is with Jesus, whether we are somewhat familiar with Him or uncertain about Him, whether we know Him and love Him and have committed our lives to Him. Regardless of who we are and where we're from, there's an invitation for us this morning, and it's an important invitation. I believe it's a necessary invitation. And the invitation is this: to devote ourselves fully in living in the way of Jesus. In other words, to embrace the fullness of discipleship. And when we say the fullness of discipleship, we're not talking about a worldly, synchristic version of discipleship. We're not talking about a watered-down version of discipleship. We're not talking about a low-bar, bare-minimum, punch-in, punch-out Sunday morning version of discipleship. Rather, we're talking about the fullness of discipleship. We're talking about the call of Jesus discipleship, the way of Jesus. Westview, I'm convinced that the church, Big C Church, needs to accept this invitation. Because I'm convinced that our world needs the church to accept this invitation. That the world needs disciples of Jesus to follow the will and way of Jesus. To live and to be His disciples. And I don't know if there's a better place for us to immerse ourselves with Jesus' call to discipleship than here in Matthew's construction of Jesus' great teaching, what we call the Sermon on the Mount, found in Matthew 5 through 7. And so what we're going to do, Westview, is today we're going to start a journey together studying this Sermon on the Mount for the next little while. And we want to engage together this pivotal text. And I'm going to tell you right from the very beginning, before we even jump into this passage this morning, that this passage, this text, these words of Jesus, they will necessarily and appropriately push us. It will challenge us. It will call us out. It will make us uncomfortable. It will raise the bar. It will up the ante for this calling that we say we follow Jesus. It will beckon us to leave behind complacency and to recapture what it means to live and to witness through word and deed the way of Jesus Christ. Now, why the Sermon on the Mount? Because it's teachings for us, for His disciples. One of the very first things we're going to hear this morning is that Jesus sees the crowds and He goes up on a mountainside and He sits down and His disciples come to Him. His disciples come to Him. And so the encouragement, the challenge, the invitation for us, Westview, is that each week we come to Jesus. We come to hear from Him and we hear Him teach us. The very next thing you'll hear is His disciples come to Him and He, Jesus, began to teach them. Jesus teaches His disciples here in the Sermon on the Mount. No less than 148 times does Jesus say, you or your. He directs His teachings to His disciples. There's another 40 plus times that He indirectly directs the teachings that He has for those who have gathered around Him. This is a teaching of Jesus for us, His disciples. this Sermon on the Mount is a message for us in a critical moment where the world needs the disciples of Jesus to be and act and live and witness and love as disciples of Jesus. And so that's our invitation, Westview. Our invitation is to come and to listen to the teaching of Jesus, to embrace the fullness of discipleship. And we're going to start today. And today we're going to hear the sermon of Jesus in its entirety. We're going to let Jesus' words sweep over us this morning. And as we do, here's what I'd like for you to do. I'd love for you to pay attention to where the Spirit is speaking to you today. What do you hear Jesus speaking to you this morning as a disciple of Him? What catches your heart? What pricks your spirit? What maybe challenges you or encourages you? What pushes you? What falls heavy upon you? What confronts you? What pushes you as we pursue the fullness of discipleship? So the Sermon on the Mount. Now, and he, that is Jesus, saw the crowds. He went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him. And he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled on by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under its bowl. Instead, they place it on its stand so it can give light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before all people, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. If any of you breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same, they will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder. And if anyone murders, they will be subject to judgment. But I tell you, anyone who is angry with their brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, if anyone says to their brother or sister, Raca, they are in danger of going to the Sanhedrin. But if anyone says, you fool, they are in danger of the fires of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift before the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother or sister, then come and offer your gifts. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do this while you are still with them on the way, or they may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. And I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you, anyone who looks lustfully at another person has already committed adultery with them in their heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It has been said, anyone who wishes to divorce their wife must present her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you, anyone who divorces their wife except for marital unfaithfulness causes her to become an adulteress. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you've made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one that asks you, and do not turn from the one who wants to borrow from you. You've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you might be children of your Father in heaven. For he sends his sun to shine on the good and the evil, and sends his rain to fall on the righteous and the unrighteous. For who of you, if your child asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if they ask for fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children who ask you, how much more will your Father give good gifts to those who ask him? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before others to be seen by them. For I tell you, if you do, you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be seen by others. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be done in secret. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room and close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling on like pagans, for they believe that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. For I tell you that your heavenly Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive others when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive people their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. And when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received the reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? You cannot serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, why do you worry about your life, what you'll eat and drink, and about your body, what you will wear? Is not life more important than food and your body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about your clothes, what you will wear? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. And yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed as one of these. And if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? Will you a little faith? So do not worry saying, what shall we eat and what shall we drink and what shall we wear? For the pagans run after those things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measures you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye, but pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, while all the while there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, remove the plank out of your own eye. Then you'll be able to see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give to dogs what is sacred. Do not throw pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be open to you. For which of you, if your child asks for a bread, will give him a stone? And if they ask for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to those who ask him, how much more will your Father give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. For they come to you dressed in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. For do you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, a good tree only produces good fruit, and a bad tree only produces bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. Any tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father in heaven. Many will come to me on that day and say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name, did we not drive out demons and perform many miracles? And then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise person who built their house on the rock. The rains came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish person who built their house on the sand. The rains came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he spoke as one having authority and not as the teachers of the law. Friends, these are the words of Jesus for us, his disciples. For all of us here this morning, and what I hope you see here on stage, thankful to our dear friends who would come and represent all sorts of different people from different stages and walks of life, different avenues. But here's the thing, we're all disciples of Jesus, no matter who we are and where we're from or what we do with our life. And these are Jesus' words for us, for all of us, regular, everyday people for whom this teaching of Jesus is for, teaching that is calling us and inviting us and challenging all of us to embrace the fullness of what it means to follow him. Discipleship. And so, Wesley, I'm curious this morning, what did you hear? As you heard the words of Jesus, what did you hear? What quickened your heart? Or what made you catch your breath? What did the Spirit speak to you as you heard Jesus' words this morning? This morning as I was listening, there was one part that happened. I think it happened early on over here where Jesus, at the very beginning, he's talking about the law and the prophets, and he did not come to abolish them but to fulfill them. And he talks about if we break even the least of these commandments and we teach others to do the same. And it just struck me, you know, mother and daughter sitting here and that enormous responsibility of conducting myself in my life and to live in such a way that I'm following the way of Jesus and the example, the role model, the impression that they have on precious little ones. How important that is. How important it is as parents, as pastor, as brothers and sisters in Christ, all of us sharing life together. So for me, that's what struck me this morning in hearing the words of Jesus. What about you? What did you hear Jesus saying? Where was there a nudge? Where was there a little bit of a poke? Where was there a challenge? Here's what we're going to invite you to do. We're going to take a few moments. You're going to turn to a neighbor or two or three. No groups bigger than four. Keep it small, okay? Here's what I'd love for you to do. I'd love for you to turn to someone. We're going to do the same thing right here on stage. We're going to do the same thing. We're going to turn to each other and just share with one another, what is one thing you heard the Spirit say to you as you heard the words of Jesus? So we'll do this for a few minutes. I'll conclude us. We'll pray, and then we'll go on with the rest of our worship, all right? So take a few moments to share with one another this morning. All right. I'll bring us back together. Thanks for sharing, and we're going to have so many more opportunities in the next weeks and months ahead as we study the Sermon on the Mount together to process and to share and to think around God's Word together. That's going to be a big part of that adult class that's meeting after worship here in the Worship Center is just reflecting on the message of Jesus and talking and sharing and continuing to embrace that invitation to go after the fullness of discipleship. So let's spend some time in prayer together as a congregation. God, thank you for the words of Jesus that have been shared with us today, words for all of us who are on this discipleship journey, no matter who we are, where we're from, what our following of Jesus has been like. Maybe some of us maybe have taken a step forward or even a half step or wondering about that. Or maybe some of us are running full-on 100-meter sprint towards Jesus. Regardless of where you are, where we are this morning, God, we thank you that these are words that encourage us, words that push us, words that challenge us. And God, we pray that in the weeks and months ahead, they will be words that continue to lead us into the fullness of following Jesus, of discipleship. God, thank you for the conversations that have already taken place in this space. Conversations that we could talk and share, and here's what the Spirit was speaking to me as we heard the words of Jesus. And we pray that you would bless the conversations, God, over the next several weeks and months ahead as we gather together and around your word. Lord, this morning as we pray, we also want to ask that you would hear our prayers and petitions that we bring before your throne. Specifically, God, we pray for health and for healing. We pray for physical healing from ailments and illnesses, recoveries from surgeries and accidents. We pray for mental health healing, where there's stress, anxiety, depression, and worry. God, would you bring about healing for our relationships within our homes and our marriages, as parents and children, healing as brothers and sisters in Christ in the church, within our own neighborhoods. We pray for healing in our communities where so often there's jealousy and coveting and playing the comparison game. God, we pray for healing for our nation, especially right now in this extremely politically divided climate, and also where there is such tragic loss of life, lives of those who are unborn, lives of teachers and children within our school, and in so many other places where there is senseless violence that is prevailing. God, we pray for healing for our world, where nations wage war against nation, and there's some who have unfathomable wealth, and then there's others who don't have anything to eat. God, we are in need of your healing, healing that can truly only come by your hand and by your work. So God, we pray that you would act, you would work in a powerful way. Bring your shalom. And God, for all the other items on our hearts this day, we thank you that by your Spirit, you know them, and even before we ask them. God, so we pray today as we close this time of prayer. We pray the prayer that we heard a moment ago, Jesus, teach his disciples to pray. And for those who would like it, the words will be on the screen. Let's pray this prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.